Are you sick and tired of demand generation bullshit? Have you had enough of theoretical advice impossible to implement? Are you done with these so-called demand generation influencers? In this podcast, we interview marketing leaders and excellent practitioners to give you real advice that you can implement today.
Welcome to Driving Demand.
Okay, welcome to another episode of Driving Demand. And with me today, I have Andre and Vladimir from Full Funnel. Great to have you both.
Thanks, Andre,
to be here.
Yeah, it's always really tricky to have two people to interview because you never know who's going to answer. So I will try to redirect my questions a bit. But you are, of course, co-founders of a pretty well-known marketing agency now, Full Funnel, especially a European one, which is also what we focus on here on this podcast. You also have a pretty big community called The Trenches. Can you start, Andre, maybe sharing a little bit on how you both got started with that, like how you met each other and how ended up at an agency?
I think Vlad can share the story better.
So first of all, just a quick correction. We're not really an agency. We work with our clients. We provide training and consulting and actually train their team to implement account-based marketing operations and so that it can target their accounts and land opportunities. But the way that Andre and I met, I think the first time we met was back in 2018. I've been always working with B2B companies, B2B marketing, always complex, high ACV, complex sales, multiple buyers, etc. And a lot of the stuff that I was trying to implement, to be honest, didn't really work. And I learned about Andre and his stuff, yeah, back in 2018, 2017. I don't know when Andre launched his first community. It's the first version of Trenches. That's how I was one of the first members that we met. And then we met in person in Valencia, where I actually live. And he was doing a talk about LinkedIn and how to do ABM on LinkedIn. And that's how we met initially. But how we started and how we decided to do Full Funnel together is, when COVID hit, I got a call from one of our clients. One, actually, it was a kind of an accelerator, and they were working with a bunch of startups and scale-ups. And everybody was in panic. It was like, oh, shit, we don't have any more the trade shows, events. Like, how are we going to get our leads? And I said, okay, let's do it. But then suddenly I had like more than 20 companies reaching out to me. And I was like, okay, we need to do something for the group of the companies, and we need to produce a lot of content. And I knew who I needed to talk to, which was Andre. So we set up this together, like an 8-week program. We guided the companies through that difficult times. We developed like a tons of material, videos, you know, at that time. And then it was such a fun. We decided to basically start Full Funnel together and work together on it.
Really cool that you also started in perhaps the trickiest period in marketing history during the pandemic, right? Where people wanted to also pull back on marketing a bit, kind of like now. So, but it's a really cool story. And it feels like you have also found your niche very nicely, which I think is really cool. We talked about that before. Like, there are a lot of both consultancy agencies and those types that are very broad in a way. They focus on everything marketing. But I think you have made it clear that you have a very niche focus. And one of those topics that I really want to deep dive very practical in today is ABM. Because I think now when we have a recession going on, people are looking, or companies are looking to go a bit up market. It's at least what I hear, or what we do as well. And in that then want to do more ABM. So they want to target less accounts, obviously, but be more valuable. But I think everyone has such a different view on what ABM is. So today I really wanted us to kind of develop a little bit of a pilot program that anyone could use from your perspective to try and make it very simple how you could get started with ABM. So, and before we, you know, go into what you need to do, maybe you can touch a bit upon what you need before getting started. What do you need as a company to align around ABM, so to say?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of thoughts, and we usually share the framework, which is called Zero to ABM. which includes several stages how companies can launch pilot program, document it, and operationalize. And I think we can share with Vlad each of the stages and the step-by-step process. So maybe let's start with alignments, where Vlad can share some thoughts and I would complement it.
I think even before alignment, you need to first understand, is ABM a good fit for me, right? And I think that's really important for our listeners. The first thing to understand is usually it is, well, not usually, it's basically a good fit for companies that have high annual contract value, which means in practice above 30K or so, right? Doesn't have to mean that this is your average deal size, but let's say your upper market, you're maybe starting with enterprise, it's going like 30, 50 and above, right? That's the first thing. Second is when you have complex sales, what does that mean? It can mean that you have multiple buyers. It can mean as well that you're selling, let's say, into the enterprise with long processes and usually, again, multiple buyers. But also it means that sometimes maybe you're selling, you know, a complex solution, maybe a software that also needs implementation, maybe training, etc. So that makes it additionally complex. So there's a number of these characteristics of your business, of your deals, etc., that make it a good fit. But then there is another bunch of stuff that you should understand to see whether you're actually ready to do it. And like you actually, a question was like, what do we need to get ready and what do we need to align on? Well, the first thing you need to get ready and align on is the ICP, like the ideal customer profile. And when we talk about ideal customer profile, we are not talking about the way that, you know, maybe a lot of companies are thinking about it in terms of some sort of generic personas, or basically, like we were discussing just before the episode, you were saying like, okay, the first time you hired an ABM agency, what happened is, and this is what we see every time when we review. So they take a bunch of accounts, like maybe 1,000 accounts, and they put it in a campaign. And so how do they select them? Well, it's like some industries, okay, the roles, and then they start marketing on that. Well, that's not really ABM, right? So you really need to narrow down by analyzing your revenue, historic, like where did you have the most success? Where do you have, you know, where's the most revenue coming from, et cetera, to really nail down what are the target verticals, the geographies, what are those characteristics? We call them account qualification, disqualification criteria. What are those characteristics that really make a good fit that I can actually reasonably sell? Because again, ABM is high value deals, and it means that for many companies, for most companies, you cannot afford to spend like 9 or 12 months chasing a deal that only has 10% of closing, right? So yeah, that's the first thing you want to align on. The next thing you want to align on as well is, okay, what are the actual goals of this campaign? Because ABM, a lot of people think about ABM is basically lead generation, right? Or just net new accounts. But ABM can be perfectly used to, for example, expand deals. And in a lot of cases, this is what we notice based on the revenue analysis that I mentioned, that there is a huge opportunity to expand deals instead of, you know, going after new net new accounts. So first, aligning on that goal, aligning on the ICP, aligning also on, okay, how are we going to do this? So how are we going to exactly go about warming up these accounts, creating awareness in them, how are we going to activate them, etc., etc.? And these are the stuff that we are, I think, going to address in the rest of the...
Yeah, no, I feel like that. I think it's so interesting. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes I see and that I have done is like, yeah, we want to do ABM because we want to go a bit up market, want to increase our contract value size, but we're not really willing to narrow it down. So we end up in sort of between some sort of demand gen play and ABM play where we decide on like 1,000 accounts maybe. So it doesn't really become personal, but it becomes smaller than what we usually do in more demand gen. So it's like no man's land almost. Do you see that also?
Before we continue this episode, I want to tell you about one of today's sponsors, Albacross. I first started using Albacross a few years ago to identify unseen website visitors and personalize the messaging on the web. But only within a few years, they've developed to be a key player when it comes to buyer intent data. So you get account level insights into every interaction with a potential buyer from Albacross, from awareness all the way down to retention. And it means that Albacross makes it easier to answer all of these key demand questions that we have. Which accounts are ready to buy and should be sent to sales? Which ad campaign are driving the most ICP buyers? And what is my ideal customer account interested in and how can I better reach them? So if you are trying to figure out these problems, check them out at albacross.com and they'll help you out. And now, back to the episode.
Yeah, that's correct. That's absolutely true. And this is one of the biggest mistakes that B2B companies are making. And there is one thing that everybody needs to keep in mind. Education about account-based marketing came from ABM vendors. And the ultimate goal of these vendors is to sell their software, which is obvious, right? If I was working for that software, I would be doing the same, right? I would be promoting and selling it. The problem is in companies that I was reading during the last days the Create Mental Models book, and there was a nice concept or mental model which is called the first principles thinking, right? So which means that you need to dive into the facts and understand how the principles work, right? But what most companies are doing, and it's not limited to ABM or demand generation or any other marketing program, they look at the surface. Okay, nice. So basically now we just select what we need is to purchase expensive software and run a bunch of ads showing them, right? Gated content, webinars, or maybe just promoting the landing page. And whenever somebody signs up, right, or clicks the ad, we just transfer everything to sales, and then sales need to spam all of these people. Why I'm saying spam? Because there is no buying intent, right? So that's the point. And this is one of the biggest mistakes, right? In theory, we have tier segmentation, which says that we have one-to-one campaigns for tier one accounts or companies with the highest revenue potential. And we need to run fully personalized campaigns. Next, we have one to few, where we run, let's say, a campaign which is semi-personalized or personalized by job role, right, to a selected group of accounts, which is not huge. And then we have one to many, where potentially you can do, you can include lots of these accounts. But now the truth is, I came from enterprise world to consulting, right? The truth is that there is no one-to-many account-based marketing. It's just a lazy excuse for not doing appropriate demand generation. And now the question is how both functions are working together, right? The key point is that there is no you shouldn't even have conversations like demand generation versus account-based marketing, right? Or demand generation, or anything versus anything, right? The key point is that you need to have a cohesive marketing, or what we call full funnel marketing, right? The point is that demand generation, the goal of demand generation, obviously is an inbound pipeline and lots of that stuff, but in relationship to account-based marketing, the goal of demand gen is creating a pool of accounts that demonstrate a specific interest in your product, right? Specific engagement. And then you move these accounts to do appropriate personalized marketing. So account-based marketing stands for personalized marketing, right? So there are only one-to-one and one-to-few plays, and that's it. That's something that everybody needs to understand. Now to address the question about, hey, but what if you want to include thousands of accounts? A simple litmus test for you, how many SDRs and marketers will you need to prospect in a personalized way thousands of accounts?
Yeah, I thought that was a great differentiation between demand gen and ABM. So basically you can run, you know, your regular demand gen plays, and from that take those, you know, companies that actually show intent that are in your ICP, and then we start our ABM efforts and can be very personalized. I like that. That's really, and I think that's a quite unusual like look on it, actually. I think it's more the one to many that we see far too often that is basically just demand gen. So it's really, but if we continue down on, like, we have talked about now how many accounts to include and so on. If we then talk about, like, both about tools, do you actually think you need tools to get started? And then maybe the biggest question, you can start with the tools one, but how do you then execute on this? How do you develop an actual playbook on what to do towards these accounts? This is also where I feel like it's really tricky. But start with the tools one. Like, do you actually need tools to do ABM?
All right. So to kind of address your question in a way that also links to your big question from the start about, okay, how can we define a pilot, right? And how do we get started, right? So I think when you think about it, with any new program, whenever you're introducing a new program, and in this case, it's ABM, you need to start with a pilot, right? It doesn't make sense to start running before you have learned how to walk. And especially when it comes to ABM, is that you are going to spend a lot of time and effort marketing to one account, or per account, you're going to spend much more time. So the cost of mistake is much bigger, right? So you how you select the accounts, how you do everything with them, is really important that you kind of have that pilot to refine, get the feedback, learn before you scale it up. Now, when it comes to tools, especially in the pilot stage, you don't need a lot of tools. I mean, we ran campaigns with our clients that generated, you know, even like millions in revenue for the first, you know, during the first pilot months, let's say two quarters or something like that. And we were doing that with a stack that maybe was, you know, I don't know, like $300-$400 a month, right? Mm. No specific tools. Like, okay, what are the concrete tools that we would definitely recommend? You need to have some information, some database about the target accounts. This can be as simple as LinkedIn sales nav. You might have whatever Zoom info, whatever you have. Of course, you need to have that to be able to enrich those accounts, to find the buyers, etc. You need to have, other than that, I think what you want to have and what we always recommend is having some sort of sales content sharing platform, or like collateral storing and sharing platform, simply because we call them content hubs, but it's basically a collection of content that you can create per account, right? So that you can personalize. And second, that it has some content analytics that allow you to get additional attend data about those accounts. Hmm. And, you know, there are tools like, for example, what we used, Paperflight, which started, I think, like $30-$50 a month, right? Mm. So other than that, it's like I mentioned, so LinkedIn Sales Nav, maybe Zoom Info or something, or an equivalent, I think Apollo, I think it's also very affordable. I think another piece of software that is really very valuable, going back to your discussion about demand gen and then looking at who is engaging, etc., is like a very simple source of intent data. Some of the more advanced marketing automation tools might have this, but for example, if you take any tool, like for example, Leadfeeder, any IP identification software, will give you these insights. So instead of like buying Sixth Sense or buying some like expensive intent database that everybody has access to, you start with your own data. You start with people and accounts who are engaging with your demand gen, they're engaging with your brand, because it's easiest to sell to people who know, like, and trust you, right? And that's why I would advise that as well as a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, so that's really nice.
With these three types of tools, which would run you, like I said, below $500 a month, you can do a perfect pilot, and maybe the whole first year of ABM, you won't need to. Then later on, you can add tools that will help you, you know, add new intent data sources, you know, like, for example, G2 or, you know, these kind of directories, or maybe even, you know, tools like Sixth Sense. Eventually, you can add maybe also some tools that will help you with automation, right? Like metadata or other tools that will help you scale and automate the effort. But you know, at the end, if you don't have a process, if you don't know, if you haven't done it initially, maybe even manually, and you know, using the limited amount of tools, you won't know what's working, what's not working. And what will happen is what they say, right? A fool with a tool is still a fool, right? So what comes in, comes out, doesn't matter what the tool is.
Before we continue this episode, I want to tell you about one of today's sponsors, HockeyStack. HockeyStack is a marketing solution that lets you collect and connect your marketing, product, revenue, and sales data to really understand what drives revenue. And from that, you can easily answer important business-related questions such as, what sales playbooks are bringing in the most customers? What is our demo win rate and ACV from paid ad campaigns? And how much expansion revenue is driven by the customer success team? And you do this by simply adding one line of code to your website and product. It couldn't be more simple to start understanding your data and revenue already tomorrow. So check them out at hockeystat.com. And now back to the episode.
And I think that's very true. It's like, and now we kind of have then, we have a baseline what we need before. We've talked about the kind of tools that you would probably need and what you don't need. How do you then from that, from those accounts selected, decide what are the actual activities we need to do?
So one of the points that companies need to consider, right, when it comes to executional playbooks, that first of all, aside from the tools, right, you asked about tools, that quite often you can generate revenue without even having tools, right? You can do expansion campaigns and just upsell to existing customers. Is it really matter where the revenue comes from new accounts or from existing clients, right? You are still growing the business. So this is the lowest hanging fruit, but lots of B2B companies are getting obsessed with lead generation, with generating more and more opportunities. That's one of the most biggest mistakes that we are seeing. Next one is when you build account list, quite often companies, and we know lots of companies that are not doing appropriate marketing, they are not doing demand generation campaigns, so they won't have any intent or engagement insights, right? So in this case, and another thing, lots of companies are not selling to accounts that are active on social, right? Not everybody is selling to marketers, to martech, sales tech companies, etc. So what if you are selling to engineers from manufacturing companies? They are not even having social accounts, right? So one of the things that you need to look at is industry associations and communities with whom you need to partner. And why I'm sharing this? Because depending on your ICP and your market, right, playbooks might vary. What everybody needs to forget is about templated one-size-fits-all playbooks, right? Hey, upload accounts to Sixth Sense and let's target everybody with display ads, right? That doesn't exist. Now, generally speaking, what playbook stands for? Playbook is a specific campaign that includes next actions. How are we going to connect, engage, and warm up specific companies, right? Next. How are we going to collect the insights about potential needs and goals of these companies, and how can we fulfill these needs with our product, right? What is an added value that we can provide to these companies? Next, how are we going to activate these accounts, basically generating sales opportunities? So this, when we answer these questions, we create a good playbook. So this playbook, just to give you an idea, we believe in one-to-one manual collaboration with these companies, right? So it's not digital activity. And then you might have, we usually categorize all these, let's say, warm-up activities, we put them into four buckets. So one of them is social engagement. That is good if your accounts are active on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, whatever, right? You name this social platform. So you can do continuous engagement with the buying committee. You can do the social selling, etc. Next, it's all sorts of events. You can do one-to-one event, right? Where, let's say, you print accounts to one-on-one workshops, let's say, imagine that we are doing this workshop for a company explaining how to go up market, and this workshop is purely aligned to your market, to your ICP, to your sales and marketing structure, right? So it's fully personalized. Or it could be one-to-many. And example one-to-many, this is that was actually our first campaign at FullFunnel.io. So we partnered with another accelerator in Belgium, which was called Scale Up Flanders. And we asked them to collect insights about the needs and goals of their scale-ups. So most of them shared that one of the, let's say, biggest challenges was growing outside their domestic market. So what we did with Vlad, we prepared a program how to grow outside your domestic market without making significant shifts in your organization or raising money and raising your marketing budget. So in total, we had around, if I'm correct, 12 or 14 companies signed up for that event, and maybe 18 people in total attending, right? Because there were multiple team members. What we did next is we set up one-on-one debriefing sessions where we were explaining the concepts, sharing ideas, how exactly these companies can implement this framework, and suggested our help, right? That's an example of playbook. As the next step, we were wrapping up, so that was a part of activation. And then there were personalized proposals for each of the companies that demonstrated interest, right? So that's another example. Then you have social content collaboration, and that content collaboration can come up in multiple forms. Let's say one of the easiest forms is podcast. So you invite your target guests to interview them, and that's the easiest way to build relationship with people, to connect and also get additional insights about what's happening at these companies, right? Where they are going. Obviously, before this, you need to do account research and collect some insights so you can validate it later. But generally speaking, you can leverage this interview as also an opportunity to discover more. And then if you see that you can help, you can come up with personalized, we never call it pitch, right, or proposal, it's just personalized solutions, right? So you name that you guys are dealing with this and that. We sat down with our team and came up with some ideas. And then you can do whatever. Sometimes we do direct mail campaigns. So we send this with, we send a direct mail swag with relevant gift and adding QR code that leads to Content Hub where they can see real-time case studies of implementing the same solution, references, and all of the things, right? Sometimes it could be the same one-on-one debriefing, right? And that's another point. Sometimes it could be market research where you involve multiple companies, right? And you gain the insights about market, and that's extremely powerful, especially if you don't have market in, let's say, in-depth market knowledge. You can basically fulfill the lacks in your knowledge. You can survey accounts, you can invite them for the interviews, and you can talk about the industry challenges, problems, bottlenecks, etc., priorities these companies have. And the same way you see, right, when you see that there are specific needs that your product could really fulfill, you come up with personalized ideas, right? So I'm just sharing this. This is the way. Obviously, the point, what you need to have in your playbook as well, right? Roles and responsibilities. As you see, obviously, both marketing and sales should be involved, right? And quite often we know that marketers are not willing to proactively participate. They believe so connecting with accounts is just the role of salespeople. But I believe that if you want to have real collaboration and support from sales, both teams should be doing this. So marketers can reach out to the same account, but to different buying committee groups, right? To champions, to influencers, maybe not reaching out to decision makers. They could reach out to their marketing peers and get additional insights about the company's hierarchy, especially if you are selling to big enterprise companies, let's say a company with 20,000 employees, right? It's really hard to understand who is your target decision maker. So this 20K employees company is just a full market for you. Every department might be a buyer, right? It's just like accounts inside one account. And then marketers can help, right, doing this appropriate engagement, because ultimately it doesn't really matter where the opportunity comes from, right? If we connect it to our marketing peers, and then let's say a fellow marketer made an intro to, I don't know, VP of something, VP of IT, right? And then we transferred it to sales. That's the point, right? Or if we wanted to do this workshop and they booked this workshop and invited their team. So that's the goal. We don't really care. But when marketers are helping with this, then sales are usually willing to push more, right, and help more with implementing these campaigns. So summarizing everything, you need to have a cadence of specific, so you need to decide a play, right, where you'll have the warm-up and activation parts. You need to have a detailed list of tasks and responsibilities, who will be in charge of what, what is the responsibility of marketing, what is the responsibility of sales, right? You need to have a clear timeline, especially for pilot campaign, right? The goal of pilot campaign is getting market feedback fast. I'm not saying opportunities. Opportunities is an ideal outcome, but I'm saying about market feedback, because if we are doing pilot campaign, we are making hypotheses, right? It's just an experiment. We have never done it before. So we are making hypotheses about ICP, about accounts that we have selected, about the playbook that we applied, right? So even if we've done ABM in the past, still it's just hypotheses that we need to validate. And if we are satisfied with the results of that campaign, then we can document it, present the playbooks to the rest of the team, and start scaling account-based marketing, right? Saying, okay, let's do it to more accounts, to new verticals, to new markets, etc. It depends on your marketing and general your marketing and sales processes, right? So timeline, tasks, metrics, leading indicators are especially important, because if you have long sales cycle, right, ABM is not a magic wand that will immediately fill in your pipeline with opportunities, right? So you need to be realistic. If your sales cycle length is 1 year, right, and you do the campaign, it doesn't mean that you immediately get the insights, but you can track good leading indicators and like accounts engaged, right? Accounts that are applying, accounts that participated in warm-up play. So you validated the needs. Maybe these accounts are not buying right now. Not because even if you know they have needs, right, that your product can fill. But they might have different priorities. There are different initiatives that are going on. So they are simply not in buying mode right now. But it doesn't mean that it won't change in 6 months, right? So that's the point. And you need to track it. And if you are satisfied with these results, then you can move forward.
Before we continue this episode, I want to tell you about one of today's sponsors, Enbridge. During last year, every single conversation within tech has been about the macro environment. Companies are looking to be more cost-efficient while growing, companies are looking to spend their marketing dollars wisely, and companies are more and more looking into ABM to solve this. But ABM can be really, really daunting, which is why I'm so happy to partner with a European company that collects everything you need for a successful ABM program under one umbrella. ICP creation, intent data, audience builder, ABM advertising, they have it all. So have you just started or are looking to do more ABM in 2023? They are right now offering free ABM diagnostics to set your program up for success. You'll find the link in the description. And now, back to the episode.
That's really, really good. And I feel like it's very much, you need a structured approach in that sense to even be able to experiment, to be sure to... disregard of what activities you do, it needs to be clear who does what, and then you actually track and follow up what happens. And to kind of finish up this episode and tie it all together a bit, what would you say are, like, what are then, how do you measure success from such a pilot, to say, what could be a leading and lagging indicator you look at?
So I'd say, like, there are kind of three things to realize when it comes to measuring success and metrics. The first thing is that, like you said already, although the ultimate goal is obviously to generate revenue, and you need to measure, you know, how much revenue we have generated, you know, starting with the qualified pipeline, how much converted in revenue. But you also want to measure things like what is the ACV that we have generated. Because if you're not generating ACV that is higher, let's say, than your average, then maybe you are not, you know, doing it correctly. Because you should be able to get a higher ACV, higher win rate, and basically any of those revenue contributing metrics, right? But because, like Andrei mentioned, it's not a silver bullet. It's not something that you can, you know, immediately accelerate and just go for a net new account and close them within the same quarter. If your normal sales cycle length is 9 months, you also need to measure the leading indicators. Now, the leading indicators will depend, as kind of a third point, they will depend on the campaign and the goal, right? So for example, if your goal is to land net new accounts, then you might be measuring things like the number of accounts that I managed to engage, the maybe some sort of level of engagement, whether that's like account penetration, so how many buyers am I engaging, what is their level of engagement, etc. Maybe if you're running some place where you're booking discovery calls, well, okay, then, you know, how many discovery calls did I book? What was the conversion rate, let's say, or the percent of the accounts that I booked the discovery calls with, et cetera, et cetera. So this would be, for example, for a net new, but then if you take a completely different campaign, let's say we have, I don't know, expanding existing deals or accelerating existing pipelines. Okay, maybe our playbook is going to be very different. Maybe I want to, I don't know, maybe analyze the existing pipeline, define the target vertical where we have the majority, you know, of the pipeline that we believe we can close. So sit together with the sales, analyze the, you know, the challenges, analyze the reason why they are considering to buy from us, analyze the blocking points, then create some content to address these points. Maybe, for example, one of the plays that we ran was running a webinar, like a live case study with one of our existing customers from that target vertical, which would allow you to then kind of get the people over the edge, answer all of these questions. But then, you know, maybe you're working with sales to activate them, all of these things. Well, then maybe your, you know, leading indicators will be obviously how many of the pipeline was I able to re-engage, you know, what was the close rate when I look at that pipeline compared to the average, right? What was the ACV, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe also if I'm running that webinar, okay, how many accounts did I manage to engage using this tactic, right? This playbook. You need the leading indicators because your sales cycle is long. The leading indicators will depend on the play that you're running, on the goal of the campaign. And you need to have different ones for the different goals. And for example, also when it's about expansion, you also want to measure the lifetime value, the growth of the ACV, etc.
Perfect. And that's the pilot program then. No, it's a really good walkthrough, I think, and really practical in that sense of how you can think about setting up an ABM program for the first time. And yeah, just to see some indications of success. I guess that's also the, everyone is always looking for revenue, of course, but maybe that's not the immediate effect of setting up such a campaign, but perhaps the long term. But thank you so much for joining us, both Andrei and Vladimir. It was great to have you.
Thanks for
inviting us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Driving Demand. Are you ready to learn more and share knowledge with some of the best B2B marketers in the world? Join our community on drivingdemand.io. See you next time.